Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the drug trust when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax. A fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed at 72%. Now, governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it that the government does to produce, to prepare, or to deliver, for which government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, and 72% for a drink? Does the guy in the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on a pizza that they buy the ingredients to make, prepare it, cook it, serve it, and pay a rent on the store that you sit and eat it? So why is it then that government gets paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we all buy? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. It's free. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school, and it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. And again, best of all, it's free. Tax and Status, our school, now is available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. All right, we've been reviewing a section of the book called Murder by Injection. It's called The Drug Trust, to give you a feeling here for what the drug industry does, either for you or to you. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that there aren't any drugs out there that aren't beneficial or that don't help you in some way. You know, if you're going to have an operation, it would sure be handy if there was some kind of a anesthetic that you could take to put you to sleep. And when you get shot in the chest, you know, with a 45 and you're still alive and you're hanging on by a thread when they're hauling you into the emergency room, I would imagine that those drips and all those the extended care procedures that they go through, you know, the emergency care procedures that they go through, is probably very beneficial, and I'm not here to argue that. But in the process, there are a lot of bad drugs out there. There's a lot of chemical concoctions that are being hawked in the marketplace that not only aren't beneficial, they're downright detrimental. And it's not just one or two, it's most of them. It's 90% of what's out there in the marketplace that's being sold and hawked out there under the guise of medicine, health, and so on, are actually harmful to you. And you ought to at least have some information, it would seem like to me, concerning some of these harmful concoctions. So in this section here, Eustace Mullins points out probably 25 or 30 of the most famous, like thalidomide we mentioned to you last time. Thalidomide was marketed in 1958, caused thousands, maybe tens of thousands of birth defects. And not just, you know, six toes on your left foot. I mean, there's no legs and no arms on these people. And it's severe, to say the least. And the tragedy of it is that it could have been prevented had they tested it. And in fact, what's even worse is they probably did test it and put it on the market anyway. And that's what's going on here with many of these drugs, and I pointed that out. Now, here's a product here called TRIS. Listen to this part of the story. After TRIS, which was a fire retardant chemical used in clothing, was banned in the United States, after years of enthusiastic advertising that it would save thousands of children from death by fire every year, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission banned it in 1977. So, you know, it was a good idea. You put this chemical into clothing, and it's a fire retardant chemical, and then your clothes won't burn. Now, that makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? I mean, I wouldn't argue with that. If somebody came up and said, listen, I have a product here that I invented in my garage, and when you put it in your clothes won't burn. Can you imagine how many little children, adults for that matter, could be saved from burns, serious burns, or death from burning if their clothes were fireproofed or fire retardant? Now, 2.4 million TRIS-treated garments were then exported to the Third World. In 1977, the FDA removed Dipyrrhenine from the market. It had been found to cause severe blood disorders, interfering with the white blood cell function. All right. So now, after we have discovered this fire-retardant chemical, you know, just to make sure that it's safe we probably ought to put it into limited production and then watch some people or put this on animals or use it on animals and test it to see what does it do. Well, they didn't. They just put it into the clothes, and then they sold it. And then after a period of time, there were a lot of symptoms came up. Well, then pretty soon they found out. Now, here's the problem with it. It was found to cause severe blood disorders. Underline the word severe blood disorders. It's not just a blood disorder. It is a severe blood disorder interfering with the white blood cell function. So they took it off the market and banned it. Okay, now that makes all the sense in the world. You can't fault people for coming up with an invention, and then we found out that the invention caused harm, caused damage, and so we take it off the market. Okay. Now, what do you do with all the clothes that this chemical is in? Well, now listen to this. It was then sold widely in Latin America with no warning. So what you do is you take all these clothes and you sell them to the people in Mexico and El Salvador and Brazil and Argentina, and you don't say a word to those people about the damage that it causes or that you've banned it in the United States. Now, boys and girls, that's criminal. That's where you knew or should have known that this product over here causes damage to people. Now, the executives of these corporations know that, don't they? Let me ask you this. Would you do that? If you had something here that was toxic that you had bought and then it caused damage, to recover your money, would you then sell it to your neighbor or sell it to somebody else without warning him about the dangers involved in it? I just ask you, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is called the golden rule. Would you want somebody to do that to you? Would you want somebody to sell you some clothes that have this fire retardant chemical in it that's going to cause you health problems or great damage, maybe even kill you, without telling you? Would you want that? And all you have to do is ask yourself, would I want somebody to do that to me? And pretty soon, you say, well, no, I wouldn't. Well, then why would you want to do that to somebody else? Now, cloquinol, C-L-O-Q-U-I-N-O-L, a drug used to treat amniotic dysentery produced by Ciba Geigy in 1934, Bactero, Vioform, and Mexon, was found to cause a nerve disorder. 700 Japanese died from taking it after 11,000 cases of SMON, subacute myelic optic neuropathy. Ciba Geigy then paid a settlement of some 1,500 victims and survivors. Now, there's a section in here that probably has about 25 or 30 of these. Now, see, if you'll remember here, I did a section here out of this book here called Quacks. Now, if anybody out there in the alternative health field, if a naturopath or a chiropractor or somebody that's outside the mainstream of allopathic medicine here in the United States were to do something like that, they'd lock them up in prison for life. Those people would never get out of jail. Now, these pharmaceutical companies kill people by the thousands. I mentioned to you a couple of cases where they actually had heart medications. There's two of them out there. Killed 50,000 people each. Now, those seem to be the records, and it's the only two that I know of. I don't know the names of the two drugs that have been. Celebrex, I think, was one of them. Dorothy Hamill was advertising one of them. That was about 2,000 to 2,000, 234, something like that. Remember, she'd go out there skating around, and she was advertising, and I think they called it Celebrex or something like that. That drug killed 50,000 people that they admitted to. And then they pulled it from the market. Merck, not too long ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, there's another drug out there. They pulled it from the market. It killed 50,000. Now, by the time this drug kills 50,000 people, that's getting to be pretty serious. Now, ordinarily, when it gets out there and it kills, in this case, is here, after taking 11,000 cases, 700 people died from it. 700 out of 11,000. That's less than 10%, but it's pretty damn serious. Now, why didn't they test that before they put it out there in the marketplace? If it's going to kill 700 people after the fact, it would have killed 700 people before the fact, wouldn't it? Well, then don't you think maybe we ought to kill a few laboratory rats in the process figuring out whether or not this stuff's good enough to put out here on the marketplace? Now, the artificial sweetener aspartame, it's called NutraSweet, there's a number of names for it, has now flooded the American marketplace. It earned $750 million for its producers in 1987. And although it has come under attack as a cause of brain seizures, the debate about aspartame has been going on for 13 years. More congressional hearings have now been scheduled. Meanwhile, Burroughs Wellcome hopes to make millions with its new drug for AIDS. It's called AZT. It is said to prolong the life of AIDS victims from 6 months to 2 years. This firm is owned by the Wellcome Trust, of which Lord Franks, a director of the Rockefeller Foundation, is a director. I'm going to pause here and pull out my file on aspartame. Now, I did a series of programs. I think I better do it again, but it's on aspartame. First of all, aspartame is not a natural substance. Aspartame is not a diet enhancement product. Aspartame is not safe for anyone. Aspartame is not a food additive. Aspartame is an unregulated and unsafe drug, and it was originally slated to be a peptic ulcer drug. Aspartame in liquids turns to formaldehyde above freezing. Aspartame is even worse for diabetics. Aspartame poisoning is cumulative, that is, it adds up. Aspartame byproducts get stored in your fat. Aspartame has 92 official side effects. The worst side effect to aspartame poisoning is death. Aspartame mimics a wide range of problems. Aspartame side effects are usually misdiagnosed. Aspartame is unfit for human consumption. Aspartame's approval by the FDA is a shameless tragedy. Aspartame's approval for use in everything is far worse. Who are the culprits? The FDA, Searle, Monsanto, NutraSweet, and more. The only cure is total exclusion from your diet, and then total recovery may not be possible, and only an irate and active public can rid the world of this poison. Now that's the opening round. Let me give you a little story here about aspartame while we're on the subject, because in the book here on murder by injection, Mullins doesn't go into aspartame. My file on aspartame is more than 100 pages and contains probably 20 articles here, I'd say, yeah, 15 or 20. If you did a web search with Google or some search engine, just plug in aspartame or NutraSweet or something like that, you'll pull up a lot of articles, just like I did. And that'll tell you some of the story, but in case you don't have a computer, computer savvy like I am not. I have to rely upon somebody else here. Listen to a little story here about aspartame. If you drink, chew, swallow, diet anything with aspartame in it, aspartame kills. This is an article from www.interlightfoundation.com. Now it's dated 2003, so they may not be there anymore, but there's a lot of other outfits out there. In the keynote address by the EPA, they announced that there was an epidemic of multiple sclerosis and systemic lupus, and they did not understand what toxin was causing this to be rampant across the United States. When the temperature of aspartame exceeds 86 degrees Fahrenheit, the wood alcohol in aspartame converts to formaldehyde and then to formic acid, which in turn causes metabolic acidosis. Formic acid is the poison found in the sting of fire ants. The methanol toxicity mimics multiple sclerosis. Thus, people were being diagnosed with having multiple sclerosis in error. The multiple sclerosis is not a death sentence, where methyl toxicity is. In the case of systemic lupus, we're finding that it has become almost as rampant as multiple sclerosis, especially with Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi drinkers. And also with methanol toxicity, the victims usually drink 3 to 4 12-ounce cans of them per day, some more. And in the cases of systemic lupus, which is triggered by aspartame, the victim usually does not know that the aspartame is the culprit. The victim continues its use, aggravating the lupus to such a degree that sometimes it becomes life-threatening. When we get people off of aspartame, those with systemic lupus usually become symptomatic. Unfortunately, we cannot reverse this disease. On the other hand, in the case of those diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, when in reality the disease is methyl toxicity, most of the symptoms disappear, and we've seen cases where their vision has returned and even their hearing has returned. This also applies to cases of tinnitus. During a lecture, I said, if you're using aspartame, NutraSweet, Equal, Spoonful, or some of the trade names, and you suffer from fibromyalgia symptoms, spasms, shooting pains, numbness in your legs, cramps, vertigo, dizziness, headaches, tinnitus, joint pain, depression, anxiety attacks, slurred speech, blurred vision, or memory loss, you probably have aspartame disease. People were jumping up during the lecture saying, I've got this, is it reversible? It is rampant, and some of the speakers at my lecture even were suffering from these symptoms. In one lecture attended by the ambassador of Uganda, he told us that their sugar industry is adding aspartame to their sugar. And he continued by saying that one of the industry leader's sons could no longer walk, due in part by product usage. We have a very serious problem. Even a stranger came up to Dr. Espisto, one of my speakers, and myself, and said, could you tell me why so many people seem to be coming down with multiple sclerosis? During a visit to a hospice, a nurse said that 6 of her friends who were heavy Diet Coke addicts had all been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And that's the first page. So I wanted to point out that there are 92 symptoms, side effects. They can affect your eyes, your ears, your neurologic, epileptic seizures, headaches, migraines, and some severe dizziness, unsteadiness, both confusion, memory loss, both severe drowsiness and sleepiness, paresthesia or numbness of the limbs, severe slurring of speech, severe hyperactivity and restless legs. You know this restless leg syndrome that you see being advertised all the time on TV? That's aspartame poisoning. That's what's causing that. So here are people being poisoned with aspartame, and then the drug manufacturers come along with a drug to calm your restless legs. What's causing your restless legs? Aspartame. Now, do they know that? Absolutely. Excuse me, but do you mean to tell me that the manufacturers of aspartame have not read all the articles and all the studies done by their opponents, by the people that are out here trying to ban aspartame from the marketplace? Do you mean to tell me that the Food and Drug Administration does not know what George Gordon, a crummy plumber, knows about aspartame? Do you believe that? That's why I say these people are criminals. It's one thing to put a product out there in ignorance. You know, mistakes are made. I wouldn't blame somebody for inventing a chemical that retards fire in clothes and then later find out that it causes a blood disorder. I mean, that's part and parcel with life. But to take the clothes that has now been doused with this chemical and then sell it to a bunch of unsuspecting people that speak another language and look different than we do is criminal. Just plain criminal. And this is the kind of thing that goes on constantly, and this is the kind of thing that permeates your Congress, your state legislatures, your governors, and your president. They're all in on the take. Oftentimes, people write me a letter, and they get really upset, and they say, do you mean to expect me to believe that my government would do such a thing? And the answer is, yes, I expect you to believe it. That's why I'm reporting it. What the hell did you think I'm spending money to come on the air and tell you this for if I didn't expect you to believe it? Now, I don't care whether you believe me or not. I just wanted to tell you that aspartame is a problem. Now, why don't you get off your dead ass and go do a research and show yourself whether or not what I'm telling you is the truth? I didn't ask you to believe me. I said I just wanted to report it to you. Well, you know, you're an adult. Hell, you can figure out what you want to do. If you want to drink Diet Pepsi, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Hell, come on in here and I'll buy you one. You know, I'll buy you a Bud Light or I'll buy you an aspartame-laden Diet Pepsi. I don't care. I'll skin off my back one way or the other. But it just seems reasonable to me that you should have the opportunity to make the choice that somebody ought to tell you that, hey, wait a minute, this stuff over here now is a deadly toxic poison with methyl alcohol that turns to formaldehyde when it gets above 86 degrees. Well, they keep it cold like hell. It's shipped in trucks. It's, you know, shipped in boxcars on trains, and that stuff is heated up to 120 degrees in those cans constantly. It was taken over to Saudi Arabia in the Gulf War. You know, all these veterans come back from the Gulf War back in 92 and 3 and 4 or 5, in the early 90s, and they come back with what they call Gulf War syndrome. That's unexplained symptoms. Most of it caused by this Diet Pepsi they sent over there, diet and suffering. Sat out there in the hot sun, you know, it's 120 degrees, and they're sitting out there in these aluminum cans, and then they stick it in the freezer, and they cool it down, and then they give it to the troops, and then, you know, a few years later, these guys come up with syndromes, you know, they don't know. Then they write me a letter and said, do you expect me to believe that the FDA would allow something like this to go on? Allow it to go on? They created it. That's the crazy part of it. Let me cite to you the story here about how this aspartame got on the market, and then we'll go on to something else here. See if I can pull that out here. Here it is, right here. Aspartame was not approved until 1981 in dry foods, and for over 8 years, the FDA refused to approve it because of the seizures and brain tumors that this drug produced in laboratory animals. So here's back in 1981, they knew that it caused brain tumors in laboratory animals. Now, why in the hell would you take a product like that and put it out here in your Coca-Cola and sell it to people? If it does it in rats, wouldn't it probably do that in humans? The FDA continued to refuse to approve it until President Reagan took office. He was a friend of the Searle Pharmaceutical Company, now a part of Monsanto, and he fired the FDA commissioner who would not approve it. Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes was appointed as the new commissioner. Even then, there was so much opposition to approval that a board of inquiry was set up, and the board of inquiry said, do not approve aspartame. So Dr. Hayes overruled his own board of inquiry and approved it. Shortly after Commissioner Arthur Hull Hayes, Jr. approved the use of aspartame in carbonated beverages, he left for a position with G.D. Searle. So he left government service and took a job with the pharmaceutical company that invented this aspartame. These good folks who brought you genetically modified organisms at Monsanto, they bought out the G.D. Searle pharmaceutical company. That's why I tell you, I said, you know, this is a criminal syndicate that the Mafia and the Cosa Nostra only dream about putting together. They'd like to. I mean, I'm not suggesting that they're honest folks, you know, in the Mafia or the Cosa Nostra, but they have not refined organized criminal behavior the way these pharmaceutical companies, the way that the Rockefellers and the bankers of the world have done. I mean, these are criminals that have taken over your lawmaking institutions. That's something the Mafia hasn't accomplished yet. So if you're one of the Mafia dons out there, why don't you guys wake up and smell the coffee? The real crime is committed in the legislatures, in the political process. That's where the real criminals are. Why don't you take a page out of their book and learn something about real crime? Now, going on in the book here, let me give you the name and address here. Murder by Injection is the story that we're telling you here. It's the story of the medical conspiracy against America. It's written by Eustace Mullins. And it's one of those banned books. Your government has done everything they could to censor this book, but it's out there. I don't know how many of them are out there, but there's a bunch. And you can get one from bravenewbookstore.com. Bravenewbookstore.com is located in Austin, Texas, and their phone is 512-480-2503. Again, that's 512-480-2503. And always remember, when I do a review of a book, you're only getting the cream off of the milk here. I'm just giving you little bits and pieces. I just happened to take a look at Murder by Injection. Sends a signal to me. It says, well, this is about vaccination, and it is. It's got one chapter in here about vaccination. I don't know what a better title to the book would be, but the Murder by Injection title over there doesn't do the book justice because there's so much more in it. The subtitle, The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America, I think probably is a better title. The Medical Conspiracy Against America might be a better title, but, you know, Murder by Injection is it catches your imagination. There's about 10, 12 chapters here in the book. Each chapter of them by itself is a subject. This is the subject on the drug trust. It's probably the biggest one in here. It's about 70 or 80 pages. And Mullins went to Who's Who, and he pulled out the names of the people that are involved here, and then he connected all these names together with the interlocking boards of directors so that we get a steady line that leads us right to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. It's a phenomenal Who's Who or whodunit in journalism. I mean, this guy Mullins now has done a hell of a job. Hell of a job. I wish I would have done that, and I could take the credit for it, but I got to tell you, you got to give credit where credit's due. And in this section of the drug trust, he's going through all of these, not all, but, you know, 25 or 30, of the biggest offenders that are put out by these quacks. Now, remember, these people at the American Medical Association have a war against quacks. Their war is against alternative medicine. Their war is against competition to establish and to preserve their monopoly, which they have. It's a proven monopoly. It works perfectly. It is probably the world's most brazen criminal act ever perpetrated in the history of mankind, and it worked like a shot. It is the perfect crime, and people are lined up. Just taking a look at injections alone, just the title of the book, 88% of Americans, that's 88 people out of 100, believe in. We were in a supermarket 3 or 4 days ago, and a lady came up that we know, met my wife in the supermarket, and she said that she was in Mountain Home for the express purpose of getting her flu vaccination, and she was disappointed because when she got to her doctor's office, the doctor was out and couldn't give her flu vaccination, which means she's going to have to make another trip. And my wife mentioned that. She says, that poor woman doesn't have a clue. And I said, that's right. She, like 88% of the American public, they don't have a clue as to what the hell's going on with vaccinations. Now, a lot of times people will say to me, they'll make a statement like that, and this lady may do the same thing. Her name is Tressie. Tressie, if you're listening, and someday, Tressie, you're gonna come back with Alzheimer's disease, or you'll come back with some kind of a side effect. And in the conversation, my wife may say, "Yep, that's why we don't take vaccinations." And then Tressie will say to my wife, "But why didn't you tell me?" And the answer is because if we had told you before the fact, you wouldn't have believed our report anyway. And it would just cause a lot of hard feelings. Now, I don't take vaccinations at all, zero. And I don't recommend them, and I kept them from my children. And when you do that, if you get into a divorce, your wife and her attorney will bring that up against you and say, and he will not allow the children to have vaccinations, as if you're some kind of a criminal. You want to protect your children from the side effects from these vaccines, and they'll use that against you in a divorce. They did. I mean, I was divorced, and that's one of the things they brought up. And then they took my children out after the divorce was over, the custody thing, and they took them all out and vaccinated them all. And so far, you see, by the time they were vaccinated, they were all teenagers. Well, I'll take that back. Two of them weren't. One of them was 7, 8 years old, and the other one was only 2. But as far as I know, they haven't had any side effects. But it's impaired all of their immune systems. So now when a real disease comes about, those children doesn't necessarily mean they're going to, but they may die from that disease because their immune systems are impaired. Their immune systems don't work as well as they could have. Now, that's why we don't tell people. And oftentimes people come back to me and they say, well, why didn't you tell me? I always tell them because you didn't ask. Anybody that asks me, I'll tell them. Now, the difference here when we're on the air, see, you have a check valve here. You can turn the knob on your radio and shut me up. You can shut me off. And that's your safety valve. And if you don't want to hear this, you ought to turn on some acid rock and get with it. Meanwhile, back on the farm, my thinking is that people should be at least informed as to what the hell's going on. And Murder by Injection here is the book that's going to tell you, here's what's going on. It's well documented. It's not as documented as some books that I've read, but in the text, he is citing from a plethora of books and articles, and you can go look up those books and articles and find out if this guy's lying to you, just like you could if you went down to the public library. Hey, listen, I got to give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, you can also get this 4-hour introductory CD package off our website at georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com, georgegordon.com. Just click on to our archives page and you should be able to download that. And the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Just as a little aside here, you know, oftentimes people will write or call or they'll ask me why it is that our government is doing this, and they're doing it for money. Sometimes they do it just to get even with you or just to cause you a lot of harm. I'll tell you a story. One time there was a fellow locked up in the Stone County Jail. This is, 20 years ago. And a book came out, and it was about AIDS. And I wanted this person who was locked up in jail to get a copy of this book. And the book was a bound book. It wasn't softbound, but it was a book on AIDS. Dr. Lorraine Day was the author of the book on AIDS. And I took it over to the jail, and I asked them if they would give it to him, and they said, no, we will not allow you to bring this bound book in here. It has to be photocopied and brought in on individual pages here, So I said, okay. So I came home, and I laboriously photocopied the entire book on my copy machine. So then I gathered up all the pages, and then I put it in an envelope, and I took it over to the jail, and they said, okay, well, we'll give this to the prisoner, and they did. And so some time went by, and one day I got a letter from the publishing company of this book, and they said, now you have photocopied this trademarked publication here, which says very plainly on the flyleaf over here, do not reproduce, do not copy or reproduce, and blah, 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 blah. So, now, at the time this book came out, I forget how many books there are in a case. I think it's 48 books in a case. I bought a whole case of these books, and I sent one to all of my children, and I sent these books out to all kinds of people out there free. And I bought and paid for the books, and I sent them out free. And as I recall, at the time, they were about $20 a book, 1995 or something, 20 years ago, $20 book, it was a pretty good size expenditure. So anyway, I got on the telephone and I called the law firm representing them, and I said, who told you that I copied this book? And they said they weren't at liberty to divulge it. And I said, well, they didn't lie to you. I did. I actually photocopied your book. I did. And I did it at the specific request of the Stone County Chief Deputy, who told me that I couldn't give this book to a prisoner in the jail, that I had to photocopy it in order to get it into the jail. And I assured him, I said, no, I bought a case of these books, and I have the receipt here. And if you want to go to litigation over this, I said, let's get after it. You've caught me with one copy that I made of your book after I bought and paid for it, and after I was told to photocopy it so that we could get it into the jail. And I would like a jury to listen to this. I would like a soapbox. I would like to expose the Stone County jail for their treachery, and I would like to expose you for your narrow-mindedness. I never heard another word from them, but I just thought I'd point that out. Government and government officials will oftentimes use the law against you, and they do it on purpose. So if the Stone County Sheriff's Office will do it, don't think for a moment that other officers in other locations, like the Food and Drug Administration or the Department of Agriculture, the American Medical Association, won't do the same thing. All right, now going on here, tranquilizers continue to be big business. Roche Labs, that's Hoffman LaRoche, continues to push its number one bestseller, Valium, while promoting its other sellers, Librium, Limbitrol, Marplan, Noludar, Tractan, Clonpin, Dalmane. Hoffman LaRoche also produces Mutilane, which is used in cancer therapy. This drug causes leukemia, anemia, thrombopenia, with side effects of nausea, vomiting, stomatitis, dysphagia, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, sweating, drowsiness, trachycardia, bleeding, and leukemia. If an alternative healthcare practitioner ever dared to offer such a drug to the public, he would be incarcerated for life. We all know how dangerous quacks are to your health. Now, Roche's medical director, Dr. Bruce Med, hails these drugs as boons to mankind. Listen to his rhapsodizing. Unlike quack remedies, which are neither tested nor scientifically proven, Roche products stand for quality and efficiency. We at Roche joined the fight against medical quackery and health fraud. Despite Dr. Med's assurances, the Office of Technology Assessment of the U.S. government states that 95% of the drugs on the market have not been proven to work. And indeed, this writer has never heard of any quack remedy producing even a fraction of the harmful side effects as those listed above as caused by Mutilane, which is Dr. Med's pride and joy. Well, let's think about that one for a second. Here's the Food and Drug Administration, and they say 95% of all of the drugs that are out there don't work. I didn't say that. That isn't George Gordon. That's the Food and Drug Administration here in the United States. Excuse me, it isn't the Food and Drug Administration. It was the Office of Technology Assessment of the U.S. government, states at 95%. Okay. Office of Technology Assessment. 95% of them don't work. Now, I was reading a catalog that Dr. Schultz puts out, and in the catalog he's offering a bowel detoxification product. It's 100% herbs. And I've tested it myself, and I can tell you that it works. It works just exactly the way it's advertised, and maybe a little bit better. He has a couple of kidney detox and liver detox and bowel cleansing detox. And so once or twice a year, I use those products. They do not produce any of the above. They don't produce leukemia, anemia, or thrombopenia. They don't make me vomit. I don't get stomatitis, dysphagia, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, sweating, drowsiness, tachycardia, bleeding, and leukemia. I don't get any of the above from Dr. Schultz's herbal remedies. But the Hoffman LaRoche company, they put out a product that they call Mutilane, M-A-T-U-L-A-N-E, that causes all of those, and they probably put it right on the label. You ought to listen to this crap on TV. They're advertising a drug, and they say, now, if you're pregnant or if you're thinking about becoming pregnant, you should not take this. If you're a diabetic or, and then they list about, 10, 15 things that this drug is going to cause. Honest to God, would anybody in his right mind go out and spend money and buy something that these people plainly tell you is going to cause you to have vomiting, stomatitis, dysphagia, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, sweating, drowsiness, tachycardia, bleeding, and leukemia? We promise it's going to give you all of those, but it's going to get rid of your pimples. Well, hell, the pimples aren't as bad as the side effects, for crying out loud. I mean, maybe they're unsightly, but you know, you can stick a pin in a pimple and pop it out on the mirror, can't you? Without all those side effects, or whatever it is that you think that you need to fix with this drug. Now, they proudly tell you that what we're doing here is protecting you from quacks. And this Dr. Schultz, that doesn't cause me any pain, cleans out my body organs, they call him a quack. They want to put him out of business. And I come along on the scene along with Dr. Schultz and others, and we say, well, we're not trying to put Hoffman LaRoche out of business. We're not trying to take, what is it they're selling here? Mutilane away from you people. If you people want to buy this Mutilane so that you can get vomiting, stomatitis, dysphagia, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, sweating, drowsiness, tachycardia, bleeding, and leukemia, have at it. We're not opposed to you doing that to yourself. We don't want to do it, and we don't want it forced on us. Fortunately, Hoffman LaRoche cannot force that on us yet, but I'm getting real nervous because The president's talking about compulsory vaccination on the swine flu trip. And we're getting down to where the president and his White House staff are talking about maybe we'll have to have forced vaccination. You know, if it gets bad enough. And I want to avoid that if it's at all possible. So who are these quacks anyway? Is it Dr. Schultz and the natural healers selling their herbs? Or is it Hoffman LaRoche over here with 95% of their remedies that don't work? So here's the government on the one hand telling you, well, we might have to force you to have this swine flu vaccine over here, but we admit that in our offices show us that 95% of these things don't work. Well, which of the 100% that's out there, which are the 5% that work and which are the 95% that don't work? Does anybody ever write up lists to tell us? Not a word. Hell, I don't know whether this mutilane works or not. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. They don't tell me. They just tell me, here's what it's probably going to do to you. So I looked at that list of side effects and I said, my God, I'd have to be near death to take mutilane since it's going to cause me to vomit, give me stomatitis, dysphagia, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, sweating, drowsiness, and so on. I mean, my God, isn't that what you're trying to avoid? Isn't that why you want to get the swine flu vaccine so that you can prevent vomiting, stomatitis, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, sweating, drowsiness? Huh? Isn't that why? So you go in here and you take this stuff, and sure enough, it gives you vomiting, stomatitis, diarrhea, pain, chills, fever, and sweating, and drowsiness, and you say, wow, boy, I'm glad I got my flu shot. What can you imagine how sick I'd be if I hadn't gotten my flu shot? Can you imagine how well you'd be if you hadn't gotten it? Huh? You ever stop to think about that? Now, here's another firm offering proven drugs in Smith, Kline, Beckman, which made its initial millions from peddling the drug known as Speed through prescriptions from doctors. The notorious Dexedrine and Dexamil. Executives of Smith, Kline, Beckman have pled guilty to 34 charges of covering up 36 deaths and cases of severe kidney damage in patients using their drug Selacrin, which was finally removed from the market. Dr. Sidney M. Wolfe, in his health letter July 1986, noted that Eli Lilly of Indiana and Smith, Kline Corporation of Philadelphia pled guilty to criminal charges of failing to notify promptly the FDA of deaths and serious injuries to people using their drugs. Lilly's Oriflex, an arthritis drug, was on the market 3 months and used by 600,000 Americans before it was withdrawn due to its side effects. Smith Kline's high blood pressure, Selacrin, sold 300,000 prescriptions in 8 months. Pfizer withheld information from the FDA about Feldene, an arthritis drug, despite deaths and harmful side effects in other countries. McNeil's Superol, approved in 1985 as an oral analgesic, was found to cause kidney damage. Orudess, Wyeth's arthritis drug, increased the incidence of ulcers. Meritol, an antidepressant produced by Hoechst, was approved by the FDA in December 1984 but had to be taken off the market in January of 86 because of fatal reactions, including hemolytic anemia. Wellbutrin, who was found to cause convulsions in women, was removed from the market in March of 86. This is just an overview that you don't hear on CBS, ABC, and NBC's nightly news as they're telling you about the latest breakthroughs by the pharmaceutical industry over here and how we've almost got a cancer cure. Not quite, but almost. Can't we see this hype for what it is, that these drug companies over here are syndicates of organized crime that are killing people? Now, I'm not opposed to them killing you. I'm just opposed to them killing you without your consent, without your knowledge, without you having had somebody walk up and say, hey, listen, did you know? Has anybody explained this to you before? Has anybody ever broached this subject? An officially approved standard of care drug for treatment of cancer of the colon is based on the use of a highly toxic chemical called 5-FU. There's two more letters that go on that. Despite reports in prestigious medical journals that it doesn't work, it continues to be widely used, perhaps because the American Cancer Society owns 50% of 5-FU. Siba Geigy of Switzerland has found an increasing market in the United States public school system for its drug Ritalin, which through some alchemy has now become the principal means of controlling hyperactive, you could read that as healthy school children. If you don't have a kid that's drugged out, then he's hyperactive. And if he's hyperactive, then he's healthy. If he's healthy, he's hyperactive. And if he's hyperactive, he needs Ritalin. Social workers had coined a new term, ADD, attention deficit disorder, which could be controlled by 20 milligram tablets of Ritalin in sustained release capsules, aided by the education establishment, which has a propensity for any drug or chemical addiction to the educational process. Ritalin has had a 97% increase in use since 1985. Students are forced to take the drug or face immediate expulsion from school. The Wall Street Journal, January 15th of 88, noted that a number of suits have been filed against schools by anxious parents concerning the forced use of Ritalin. The Georgia Board of Medical Examiners is now looking into the skyrocketing use of Ritalin in the schools in Atlanta's affluent suburbs. A student now on trial for murder has entered the defense that he was on Ritalin. All right, so there I'm going to put a bracket around Ritalin. I thought that was a good one. Notice here that this drug 5-FU doesn't work, but the American Cancer Society has a 50% interest in it, so that's why they produce it. Now write me a letter and say, do you expect us to believe that the American Cancer Society would put a drug on the market or support a drug that doesn't work? And the answer is yes, I would believe it, and that's why I reported it to you. Now you know, I told you. Now if you want to continue to use the drug 5-FU after I just told you it doesn't work, and the American Cancer Society has a 50% interest in it, that they get the profits off of that half of it, well, go out and buy it. Hell, I'm not here telling you not to. I just thought that, you know, any sane, rational person, once he finds out that the people that are promoting the use of this product over here have a financial interest in it. See, when I tell you to buy one of my schools, I have a financial interest in it. You might want to talk to somebody else that doesn't have a financial interest. And then if he says, hey, that guy Gordon, his schools are really good, well, then maybe I've got something going for him. If they say, oh, no, I wouldn't buy one of those schools, that guy is a quack, well, okay, well, then you got the straight skinny, didn't you? Now, pesticides persist in being even more dangerous than insects. Lindane. I'm going to put a bracket right here. Put my arrow right there in the market. Now, we're going to take a look next time. We'll take a look at some of these pesticides, you know, the things that you buy to squirt on your plants outside. How safe are those? Well, it kills insects, but you're so big that the small amounts of it don't kill you. Well, they don't kill you today, but you keep using it year after year, and these cumulative poisons build up in your body until one day you start having seizures or you start forgetting things, and we call it Alzheimer's disease, or we call it muscular dystrophy or something, you see. If you ever stop to think that maybe it was pesticide poisoning. I'm out of time. I've got to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.